Hey everybody, Pastor Phil Dooley here from Hillsong in South Africa. We're glad you've joined us. This message, I believe, is going to stir faith in you, help you to see the big picture vision that God has for your life. Enjoy.
Who's excited to be in church? Glad to be here. And we do love all the young people. If you're new or visiting, we have a great program for them. So if you've got kids, grade 5 and 6, grade 7 and 8 at school, they can head out, got a team who are going to look after them. They're going to have a great time while we receive the word together. All right, hey, we're going to get started. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we pray it'll speak into our hearts and into our lives today. Lord, we just say our hearts are open. Lord, speak to us. Lord, may this be a word that is fresh, that challenges us, that reminds us that there is a greater call, a greater plan and purpose for our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated. As you're seated, turn to the person next to you and just ask them, what are we doing for lunch? I just figure we're a friendly church, so why not encourage a little bit of, you know, community, relationship building, all of that. Just want to mention about Easter. All right, it really is, for all of us who have faith, Easter really is the most significant weekend of the year, because we celebrate, we remember, we contemplate, we consider what Jesus did for all of us. And we want to reclaim Easter. We want people to understand this is a time that reflects God's love for everybody. And I think, you know, a lot of people enjoy Easter because it's some days off, you know, a little holiday. It's time with family, which is great. It's chocolate Easter eggs. Chocolate's good. Hot cross buns. Pickled fish for some. Maybe, maybe not. My wife, yes. Me, no. But, you know, there is a depth to Easter and an understanding that we want to reclaim Easter so that people understand this is a time where we celebrate God's great love for all of us. And that's what the cross equals love symbol is all about. It's not just a symbol. What does that mean, the cross? You know, we wear it as a piece of jewelry or whatever. No, it has power. It reminds us of God's great love for all humanity because of what Jesus did and accomplished on that cross. So let's, like Lucinda said, go crazy inviting people. Let's spread that word about it. And then throughout Easter, we have beautiful things planned, from communion, 1 hour beautiful services on Good Friday, through to Sunday morning, hearing something from Pastor Brian, very special. It's going to be beautiful. And then Sunday night, big worship night. Now, we were wanting to go to Greenpoint Park. We had booked it. They had said yes, but unfortunately, different organizations within our city don't always talk to each other. And so we were told yes, and then we were told no, because there's a football match, which no one told us about, happening at Greenpoint Stadium at the same time, and they can't do the two events. So we're like, okay, well, we're going to make it awesome, but next year, we're going to plan now for next year to make it even better for the city. And we love our bureaucrats. God loves them, but they are not going to stand in the way of the desire we have to reach and impact and influence our city. It may take us a little bit longer, but we're going to get there. So this year is going to be incredible, amazing worship night right here. We're going to have special guests and all of that, and it will be the best way to finish Easter. And then we will plan and build toward the following year and something even more powerful. So there you go. Okay, my message is part of a series, probably the conclusion of this series, which has been about vision. Small steps towards a big picture. The idea being that there is a big picture vision that God has for our lives, and also an understanding that in order to get there, it's often not the big leaps that we need to take, but sometimes it's just the small steps. That if we would get the small steps right, we would head toward this big picture vision for our lives and encourage, you know, and God, I believe, challenges and encourages us to keep growing and taking steps toward this vision that He has for each and every one of us, for us as a church together, for our families, for our lives as individuals. My message title today is, What's Inside Makes All the Difference. What's on the inside makes all the difference. I don't know if you've ever been hungry and you've seen a bowl of fruit and there is an apple there. And you see that apple and it just looks beautiful. It just is shiny and you just think, that is my apple. I'm going to enjoy this apple. You reach out, you grab that apple, you bite into the apple and it's flowery. You ever had that experience? It's like you bite and you're and then you don't know what to do you? Because you don't want to keep chewing it and you want to try and tell someone but you can't talk because your mouth is full of flowery apple and it's kind of And what do? You like try and find, you're like, you are so disappointed and you find a bin or something, you spit it out, get rid of the apple. It's just like so frustrating. Why? Because it's not about the outside of the apple, but it is what is inside the apple. What's on the inside that really counts. We're going to talk about that today and consider a few examples of this because we can have a big vision. We can talk about that vision. We can write that vision down, which we have encouraged everyone to do. But we also need to understand that it is what is going on inside of us that affects whether that vision takes place. So in order to get started, I want us to, and like I say, we're going to consider a few people here today. The first of which is Jesus and his disciples. What was on the inside of them? Before I get started with that, let me just ask you this question. What is worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm. Just. Oh, that's bad. All right, just making sure you're still with me. Okay, so let's consider Jesus and his disciples because in this story we're going to look at in Mark chapter 9, it's interesting because it's what's going on inside of them that affects how they're reacting, how they're responding, and how they're relating to what is going on. Jesus, in fact, in this example, is trying to teach them about the big picture vision that he is all about, which is obviously what we celebrate at Easter time. So let's read this together in Mark 9, verse 30. It says, leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there. It's interesting that sometimes Jesus didn't want a crowd. He just wanted to spend time with those he was closest to because he recognized that if he could impact and influence their lives, they could impact and influence others. And sometimes a small group can have a bigger impact. And so Jesus didn't want everyone to know because he wanted, verse 31, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He wanted to share with them this big picture vision that he had, that they were a part of, that he was all about. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. Verse 32 has to be very discouraging and very frustrating, somewhat disappointing if you were Jesus. Verse 32 says, they didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. That would be discouraging, especially when you're Jesus and you kind of know what's going on. I don't know about you, but I have been in environments where maybe it was at a lecture at university. Maybe it was in high school, grade 9, best 3 years of my life. Just a little humor trying to keep you all alive and with me today. Whether it was in a conversation with people who were sharing and discussing something that really was quite, you know, intelligent, quite high-level thinking, and they're discussing this in the environment, in the group, at the meeting, whatever it is, and you don't know what's going on, but there's no way you're going to let on that you don't know. So you're literally like, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I thought about that last week. Study plan. Yeah, no. Been over that. Yeah. Oh, that's great. and you don't know what's going on, but you're acting like you do because you don't want to seem like the idiot in the room. You don't want to seem like, I don't know what's going on. I'm supposed to know what's going on, so I better act like I do know what's going on. But can I tell you, acting like you know when you don't know is never going to help you. And the disciples are afraid to say they don't know what Jesus is talking about, so they say nothing. This is not helpful, but this is sometimes what happens. Jesus had a big picture vision and people didn't understand it. Just because you have a vision and people don't get it doesn't mean it's wrong. In fact, there may be times where your vision and what God's speaking into your heart may be misunderstood. People may not get it the first time. Imagine if Jesus quit because the first time he explained it to them, they didn't get it. He thought, that's it, it's all over, can't do it. Can't do it. No one gets it. And yet sometimes that's how we feel. Well, people don't understand. People don't seem to be responding. Therefore, it can't be from God. No, maybe it is from God. It's just that people haven't caught what's going on. And so you got to have something on the inside that keeps you going. And just when we thought it was bad and these guys didn't get the big picture vision, it gets worse. Let's read on. Verse 33, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled into a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing on the road? Now, he kind of knows because he's Jesus, but he just wants to know what it is they've been talking about. He shared his big picture vision about what he's going to go through. They don't get it. Well, let's see what they were talking about. But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Can you imagine being Jesus at this time? I possibly would have gone outside and said, God, just can you give me another group? I can't work with these guys. Number one, I try and tell them the big picture of what this is all about, that I am going to have to die and give my life and all, and they don't get it. And then they have their own conversation and they're arguing about who's the greatest. They're arguing about who's the greatest when the greatest is standing right next to them and they don't even get it. Sometimes you have a big picture vision and others won't get it. Others won't see it because we get caught up in what is small and what is insignificant, and yet it clouds us from seeing the big picture vision. How sad this can be, that sometimes your vision will be misunderstood by others. Or alternatively, some people won't get it for the first time you present it. Doesn't mean it's bad or not a good vision or not from God. But it does mean you need a deep conviction. So we see two sides of the coin here. One is that those who are presenting a vision need to have a deep conviction because it can be misunderstood. On the other hand, when you are trying to develop an understanding of vision, you need to have the courage to ask questions. It's okay to ask questions. And I want to emphasize this for a moment today because I think too often we don't ask questions because we don't want to seem like the one who's not smart, who doesn't have it all together. And because of that, we remain ignorant and can never step forward into the vision God has for our lives because we pretend we know things that we don't know. And I want to tell you, a sign of weakness is not asking questions. Asking questions is courageous. Not asking questions and pretending you know everything is actually a sign of weakness. If we want to improve and grow in any area of our life, unlike the disciples, we need to have the courage to speak up, to stand up, to say, hey, I don't get it. I need a bit of help here. Can you help me understand what is going on? In fact, here's a thought today. Acting like you know when you don't know only hinders you. Acting like you know when you don't know only hinders you. If you are new to faith in Christ, there may be questions that you have. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to ask things that you don't, questions of statements you read in the Bible you don't understand, or this, or you know some other question you don't understand. It's okay to ask questions. In fact, the only way you're going to grow, here's the first point today, asking is critical to growing. If you want to grow and step forward into the God-given vision that He has for you, then don't be afraid to ask questions. In fact, asking, like I say, is critical to growing. There is nothing weak about asking. Asking makes you stronger. Our insecurities stop us from asking. That's what happened with the disciples. And all that does is it causes us to live ignorant lives and limit us. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus here is saying, hey, if you don't know and you want to know, then maybe you should ask. In fact, it's a principle here, a principle of action. Or in other words, get off your butt, go and ask, go and seek, go and find out what you don't know, because when you do, guess what? You start to grow, you start to become better, you start to learn things, and you begin to step forward into the vision that you have for your life. Asking is not weakness. Asking is courageous, and asking will cause you to grow. We have a vision to build church that builds this nation. Now, I wasn't born in South Africa. As many of you know, Lucinda and I moved here almost 9 years ago from Sydney, Australia. I grew up in the suburbs of Sydney. You can't find a more boring place in the world. There are wonderful people there, and it is a great place, no doubt, but it is boring. If you want to have a boring life, live in the suburbs of Sydney. If you want to have an adventure, come to Africa. That's where the action is. Now, I know there are beautiful people from the suburbs of Sydney who have been offended by what I've said. That's all right. You just need to learn to forgive and keep enjoying the suburbs. So anyway, when we moved here, if we feel we're called to build a church that's going to build the nation, you know what that means? That means I can't show up thinking I got it all together and I know how to do this and we know how to reach all the different people and all the different cultures. It means I need to ask some questions. And I need to ask questions of all different kinds of people and learn from all different cultures and all different backgrounds and understand that if we're going to be a church that reaches right across the spectrum of this society and builds lives and ultimately builds the nation, then I need to be prepared to ask questions. Otherwise, I'm going to be ignorant and I'm not going to know, and we're not going to be able to impact that area of society. And the same goes for every one of us, because we all have our perspective from what we've grown up with and what we've seen, but asking questions helps us to grow, to get better, and to be able to handle situations and know how to lead effectively in all different areas. Having the courage to ask questions, I know I'm laboring the point here, but asking questions is going to help you to grow. If you're married and you need help with your marriage, ask some questions. If you're raising kids and you need some wisdom on raising your kids, ask some questions. If you want to improve in your finances, guess what? You're going to need to ask some questions. All different areas of life, but we don't do it. Why? Because we don't want to look like we don't have it all together. Because then it might look like I'm a failure. Then it might look like, no, all it does is going to make you better by asking questions. In fact, here's what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Do you read that and you're kind of like, what? What do you mean? The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. You know what that says? It says, you don't have all the wisdom. You want to be wise? Get wisdom. That is saying, I'm starting from a point where I don't know everything, but I can learn and I can acquire wisdom. And it goes on there and says, though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Wisdom is something I can acquire. How do I do it? It's going to cost me to get it. I want to get it. It's going to cost me. You know what it may cost me? It may cost me some pride because I'm going to put up my hand and say, I don't get it. Can you help me? It may cost me some time because I'm going to study in order to understand something that I don't understand. It may cost me some money because I'm going to apply to do a course that's going to help me to become a better person and to grow in the area of vision that I want to step my life into. It's going to cost me some time because I'm going to read some books or I'm going to learn some things that I didn't know by putting myself in a position where I could easily just not do it and, you know, just sit back and just whatever. But it's going to cost me, but it's going to be worth it because I'm going to acquire wisdom. Understand the power of gaining wisdom by asking, by taking time to do this is going to help you. It will be costly, but you will get wisdom. What I have realized is that most of the times when we make bad decisions, or when I've made bad decisions, it's because we've made them on our own. We haven't included anyone in the process. We haven't invited wise counsel into our world. We haven't asked anyone. We've just assumed we know it all. And often that can lead to all kinds of mistakes. There is a whole lot of wisdom that we can acquire that is going to help us. And these disciples fell into the trap of not being courageous enough to say, Jesus, we don't get it. Ultimately, they would, but it would take a whole lot of time. And rather than focusing on the big picture, what happens? They focus on the little issues. Who's the greatest? Our small insecurities can stop us seeing the big picture. Firstly, the disciples don't ask Jesus what he's talking about, even though they don't understand. Secondly, they focus on something so small and petty that there's no way they could comprehend the big picture that Jesus is seeing. We have to recognize that if our lives are going to see and step into a big picture, then we have to get rid of small, self-focused thinking. Jesus, when he hears them say this, says, well, hang on, let's just sit down for a moment. And in verse 35 of Mark chapter 9, he says, he sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone. What is Jesus saying? He's saying at the center of any big picture vision is serving. At the center of any big picture vision is serving. And I believe this is a key that can help you. If you have a vision for a better family, maybe you need to serve your family rather than expecting your family to serve you. If you want to have a better marriage, maybe husband or wife, you need to serve your partner rather than expecting them to serve you. Maybe in a career, in a business, in a company, and you want to achieve more and go further, maybe you need to have a role of understanding, I'm going to serve this company, I'm going to serve my clients, I'm going to serve them rather than expecting them to serve you. Because all of this, when we serve others, it has the ability to cause our lives to be lifted. If we want to be a church that is an influential church, how do we do that? Do we just rock up in the city and go, hey, here we are. Wow, we're Hillsong. Look at us. We're pretty awesome. We do music. You may have seen and heard some of our CDs. We're a big deal. No, we can't show up like that. If we want to be an influence in our city, we can't show up saying, here we are, look at us, aren't we amazing? No, we show up with a spirit that says, how do we serve our city? How do we serve our community? How do we serve the lives of people, and not just those in the church, but those outside of the church, those who are without a faith? We need to have a commitment that says, we are here to serve first. And when we serve, God starts to elevate. God starts to lift. People start to see what's going on. That has to be our spirit. That has to be our commitment. That has to be what we're all about. I think about our Mitchell's Plain location. I love what God's doing in Mitchell's Plain. But I think about how it all began. It didn't begin. We got a picture coming up on the screen. They recently celebrated 4 years of church, but I was contemplating how it all began. And you know how it all began? Not with a building, not with a band, sound system, lights, none of that. Started with some cups of soup. We decided, hey, there's a need to serve one of the most broken parts of our city in a community there where people are struggling to even be able to feed their families. Well, we could go in and we could make soup and we could give that out to these people and show them God's love in a very practical way. And so that's exactly what we started to do. And you can see a beautiful young boy here with his soup and some bread and a really good apple. That's a good apple, that one that he's got. And that's how it all began. And going into this community and providing food ended up becoming, hey, we could do a kids program here on a Wednesday. So we started doing a Wednesday afternoon kids program, and literally, you know, hundreds of kids from around the community started coming into the program. And then we thought, well, maybe we could do a Wednesday night church service. And that Wednesday night church service in a little community center in the Tuffelsa community in Mitchell's Plain. I mean, Pastor Brian went and preached there. Christine Kane went and preached there. Reggie Dabbs went and preached there. All these amazing world-class communicators preached in this little community center in one of the toughest areas of Mitchell's Plain. And now from there, we launched into Sunday services. And 4 years later, over 1,200 people in church every Sunday from all parts of the community. But it all started with a commitment. Hey, we're going to serve our city. Any big picture vision must always have serving at its center. There must be a deeper purpose. Without it, our vision will be hollow and unsustainable. You may have an element of success, but that will fulfill you, but it won't fulfill you like a commitment that has a deeper vision associated with it. You may have some success, but ultimately, there needs to be a deeper vision going on. That's why we made this statement last time. I was teaching on this. A self-absorbed vision will always be hollow. Vision that embraces, empowers, and lifts others will always bring fulfillment. I've been reading a book by Richard Rohr on From Wild Man to Wise Man, and this is a statement that he writes. A recent survey of boys in the 8th grade of grammar school revealed that 90% of them see their primary goal in life as making lots of money, not falling in love and raising a family, not inventing or discovering something new, not exploring secrets of nature, not making the world a better place, not becoming a saint, but simply making money, which is not a real product at all. It cannot finally satisfy at a soul level. So interesting that we live in a society today where we have got so consumed with, I've got to have money, I've got to have fame, I've got to have these things, which should always be a byproduct of something deeper, and yet we have made them the end goal and they will never be sustainable in and of themselves. It's fine to have some money. We need money. It's great to have some influence or some fame. There is no issue with that. But if that becomes the goal, then the vision is never going to be sustainable. There has to be something deeper at its core if it's going to be sustainable and it's going to cause your life to move forward. See, I love this statement. Our greatness is shown not in how we lift the lives of, not in how we lift ourselves, but in how we lift the lives of others. Have a big, scary vision. Have a big vision for your life. We have a big vision for our church, but that is a vision that is associated and connected, not just with what I can do, but with something deeper. What can I get? How can I serve the lives of others? Okay, two more examples here really quickly. We've looked at Jesus and how he had to have inner conviction about his big picture vision. His disciples didn't understand it. They missed out on it because they didn't ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't get caught up in the petty. Understand our vision should always have serving attached to it. Secondly, I want us to look at Caleb and Joshua. What was inside of them? Caleb and Joshua were not the key leaders on their team, if you will. They're from the Old Testament, and we read about them in Numbers. Moses was the leader. I want to say this to everybody here. Just because you're not the leader doesn't mean you can't have a big picture vision for your life. Just because you're not the guy in charge doesn't mean you can't have something significant that you carry. Every one of us in our church, it shouldn't just be about the lead pastors or someone running this or that. It should be every one of us, I believe, can have a big picture vision for our lives and for our future. Joshua and Caleb model this. In this example, we see that they have, God has spoken to them about this big picture vision, that they have a promised land, a property that is to be given to them. And they are excited about this, and God has spoken it into their hearts. And so that Moses sends in 12 spies that represent the 12 tribes of Israel, of God's people. They go into this land, this promise, to see this big picture vision. And here's their response when they come out. Numbers 13, verse 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. They brought back examples of it. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Menintites. Just checking to see if you're still awake. Live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So this is how some of them have responded. It's great, but the opposition. You have no idea the opposition. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Caleb says, "We can do this." Caleb had a different spirit. But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." They saw themselves in a certain way. So we heard Caleb's words. Now let's look at Joshua's words in Numbers 14, verse 9. He says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them." One says the land will devour us. Another one says we will devour them. Same people saw the same thing. It's what's on the inside that counts. It's what's on the inside that matters. It's what's on the inside that makes the difference. Their protection is gone, but God is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Our second point today is your vision is always affected by how you see God and how you see yourself. If you don't see that God is able, it's highly unlikely that the big picture vision is going to come to pass. If you don't see that you can step forward into that vision, it's hard to believe, it's hard to understand that that vision will come to pass. You've got to change how you see yourself. Some of us, maybe we've failed, we've made mistakes, we've looked down and said, "I don't know if I could get out of it." Maybe because of our background, we look and think, "Well, I'm not educated, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I'm from this background," whatever it might be. And we always limit ourselves, and we've got to stop that, and we've got to see ourselves the way God sees us. And he sees you as someone who is an overcomer because of Jesus and all that Jesus did and all that he achieved on the cross. We can live as overcomers. It does not mean we don't have battles and struggles and challenges, but it means we can live with an understanding of who he is and who he says we can be. And we can break through, and we can overcome, and we can leave the failures and the past behind. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? How do you see God? B Because how you see yourself and how you see God, Joshua and Caleb, what was inside of them? They saw God differently. They saw themselves differently. And therefore, they saw the fulfillment of the vision. What's inside of you when it comes to those things? It's very easy to be on the cynical side, isn't it? Very easy to end up negative. Very, very easy to be a critic, kind of watch and talk about, well, you know, we can't do it and it can't happen. It's easy to be like that. I love Pastor Brian's statement, better to be an artist than an art critic. Better to be a chef than a food critic. Better to be a musician than a music critic. A church builder than a church critic. Hey, come on, I'd rather be someone who's having a go than someone on the sideline pointing out all the mistakes and the failings and the problems and all the rest of it. Let's be people who are prepared to step up and have a go and step forward because we know that God is with us. We may not get it right all the time. We may make a few mistakes on the way, but I'd rather be someone who steps forward into a vision and has a go than someone who doesn't even try because they've already figured it out in their head that it's not possible. It's all about what's inside of you. Final thought today. Final example today. We've looked at Jesus. We've looked at Caleb and Joshua. I want us for a moment to look at Nehemiah. What was inside of him? Nehemiah is also an Old Testament character. He was an administrator, a cupbearer in the house of the king. The king of Persia, the king was not a godly man. Nehemiah was someone who had a passion for God, a passion for God's house. And Nehemiah hears that God's house, that Jerusalem, the walls have been broken down, that they've been ruined. And for Nehemiah, he gets so overwhelmed by that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at our society today. I look at some of the pain and I look at some of the brokenness and I can get a little bit overwhelmed as well and think it just doesn't seem fair and it just doesn't seem right. And Nehemiah, probably like many others, I mean, he's an administrator. He's not the guy in charge, but he does have influence in his world. You have influence in whatever your world is. You can reach people that I never could. You can impact the lives of others that I could never impact. And Nehemiah recognizes when he hears about this, it says he starts to weep, his heart breaks, and he gets a big picture vision. We can rebuild the wall. We can rebuild what's been broken down. I get stirred when I look at some of the challenges in South Africa, some of the challenges that we're facing. And on one hand, you can get overwhelmed, and on one hand, I can get emotional. But on another hand, I say, no, God, you can use us. You could use us to rebuild what's been broken. You could use us to rebuild some broken communities and some broken lives. You could use us to rebuild what has been broken. You could use us. And Nehemiah gets a vision and he starts to speak it out. In fact, he goes to the king and talks to him about this vision. And the king is not a godly man, and yet the king gives him favor, gives him time to go and to do what he desires to do in building this wall. It's amazing how I believe when you have a big picture vision, you don't get caught up in the petty stuff. God's going to give you favor. God's going to place you before people. God's going to give you influence, things that you never even dreamed were possible. And God's going to open opportunity and favor. I believe it. As we step forward with this big picture vision, understanding we're called to serve, to lift the lives of others, he finds favor and he goes. But you know, as we conclude pretty much this series, I want us to understand two things, final thoughts here. As Nehemiah gets started, he faces serious opposition. We're going to read about it in a moment, but point three here today for every one of us, and it may seem like a negative one to be concluding on, but it's something we all have to recognize, is that whenever you have vision, you will also have opposition. And the reason why many people do not step forward into the big picture vision that we see and we desire and we believe God speaks into our hearts is because when the opposition comes, we get intimidated. And we think, I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the capacity. I don't have the capability. I don't have the skill set. We think of all the reasons why not. And Nehemiah got absolutely harassed, insulted, intimidated, challenged because of this vision. Let's read about it in Nehemiah 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" And then his little buddy Tobiah joins in. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing on it would break down the wall of stones." They're saying it's no good. They can't do it. They don't know what they're doing. Who do they think they are? When you step forward with vision, you'll find favor, but you'll also find opposition. People will insult, people will ridicule, people will tell you you can't do it. Who do you think you are? There will be all kinds of voices that will try to come against you. And we have to understand that those voices are not the final authority, but that God and His Word is the final authority. And He said He will build His church. And He said the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And He said that you can and you will overcome, even though you will face some challenges in this world. And I want to be someone who does not build my life on the words and opinions of an opposition out there, but on the words of Almighty God, the King of heaven and earth, who puts vision inside every one of us, a vision to build, a vision to establish, a vision that I believe can lift the lives of many and see people taken out of bondage and out of brokenness and healing come into their lives. Come on, let's stand. I just get a bit emotional about it because we're always going to face some opposition. But we have a big picture vision that there are broken lives that need Jesus, that need His healing. That there are families and there are communities and there are people who need to know the love of God and need to understand that they have significant gifts, talents, and responsibility to build what He's called them to build. We can all be a part of this vision together. See, the final thought is this. His vision is contagious. Vision is contagious. Nehemiah said, "We got to do something." And when he started spreading the word, a whole lot of others joined with him. In fact, this is what Nehemiah said, or this is what it says in verse 6 of Nehemiah 4. It says, after all the insults, after all the opposition, it says, so we rebuilt the wall. So we rebuilt the wall. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. They didn't talk about how tough it was and we can't do it and we better have a break. And they just kept on building. They just kept on taking one step after the other. That's all you've got to do. Just keep rebuilding. It may seem like it's the smallest little step, but just take one step forward. Just pray one prayer. Just do one thing, whatever it might be, to build and to take things forward in your life. It may seem like it's a long way off, but just keep taking the steps. Just keep rebuilding. And the amazing thing about Nehemiah's story, it says in Nehemiah's story, in 52 days they rebuilt the wall, a wall that had been broken down for years. And it takes all kinds of people to rebuild. And I believe that for our church across South Africa, it takes all kinds of people from all kinds of background. That's what I love about our church. It's diverse. It's all backgrounds, and so it should be, because we all need each other to build something significant to the glory of God, and that's what we're called to build together. And I want to pray that God stirs faith in your heart, that you would be part of building this vision, and that God would stir faith in your heart for your life and your family and your future, that that vision would continue to build and take hold in your life. Come on, let's sing out. Let's worship God together.
Well, thanks for joining us. I really pray that this message has stirred your heart. I know it stirred my heart as I was preparing it, understanding, you know, God has a big picture vision for our lives, and we can get caught up in petty things, and let's never be those kind of people. Let's understand that serving is central to the big picture vision God has for our lives. And hey, I really pray that that you would just keep taking steps, keep building like Nehemiah, keep your spirit right like Joshua and Caleb, and keep that deep conviction just like our Lord and Savior Jesus had regarding the big vision that his life was all about. We all, I believe, have a part to play in building God's kingdom, taking it forward with this vision he's stirring in our hearts. Thanks for being with us. See you next time. God bless.